Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
17, 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and I'll give you a little thought out of here tonight with the help of the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, and thank the Lord for our young people. And I want to give you a little challenge tonight, not just our young people, but to all of us, and maybe we can learn something here out of 1 Samuel 17. As you're finding your place there, 1 Samuel 17 is a very familiar story. If you've been around church any time at all, you've heard the story of 1 Samuel 17. And you that knows your Bible, as soon as I said that, I'm sure your mind went to the story of David and Goliath. And I want to talk to you about that for just a little bit tonight. Whenever you think about David and what's going on here in David's life, I think a lot of times we picture David as just a little boy at this point in time in the Scripture. But David's not a little boy at this point in time in the Scripture. If you'll study the Bible, if you'll study the timeline out, if you'll put a little bit of common sense in with it, you'll find out that David's probably around 16, 17 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe 15 years old when we come to 1 Samuel 17. We know David is old enough to keep his father's sheep by himself. We know David's old enough to travel by himself and to go see his brothers and to take them something to eat. So David is a young man at this point in time in the Scripture, but God uses this young man to make a great accomplishment in the life of the nation of Israel, and a great accomplishment. Matter of fact, we can say it this way, even in the military of the nation of Israel at this point in time, when there was a time that there was a lot of others that was afraid to stand up for what was right, there was a young man showed up on the scene and stood for what was right. And you've heard me say this a lot lately, if there's ever been a time that we need a generation to stand for what is right, it's in the day and age in which we're living today. And our generation that's here, these young people that's here tonight, can make a difference in society. Amen. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the life of David tonight here in chapter number 17. I'm just going to let you remain seated because I'm going to jump around in the Scripture tonight. Father, I love you. I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bring back to our mind, God, and our remembrance, God, the things that we've studied. And God, I'll be careful to give you the praise. I pray, God, that you'd touch somebody's life tonight. God, may your word find a lodging place in their heart. May there be some young people, God, make their way to an altar tonight and determine by the grace of God, they're going to serve you and they're going to make a difference in their generation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I want to look at this story, and again, I know you're familiar with it, what's going on here. This giant has came out, and Goliath of Gath has came out, and Goliath has defined the armies of God in chapter number 17, and David's brothers are there, and this giant is seeking somebody to come out and fight with him. And again, I know you know the story, but in case you don't know the story, let me give you a little bit of the history of it. He's wanting somebody to come out and fight with him, and David's brothers are scared to do that. They're afraid to do that. They won't do that. David shows up on the scene. He's just a young man, and David begins to talk to him. He hears Goliath cursing God, cursing the name of God, cursing the nation of Israel, and David says, man, somebody needs to take a stand for what is right. Somebody needs to stand for God. And can I echo it again? We need somebody to stand in the gap tonight and take a stand for what is right. We're living in a society today that everybody's wanting to go another direction. We're living in a liberal society today, you can holler amen right there. I'm not against our school systems today, but in general, our school systems are liberal today. They're raising a liberal generation. And if there's ever been a time that we need somebody to stand up for what's right, it's in the day and age in which we live today. You've heard me say this before, but let me say it again. A lot of times we'll say, man, if Spurgeon was here, or if Moody was here, or if Brother Robertson was still here, or if Dr. Ray or Dr. Seidler was still here. But the truth of the matter is this: they're not here, and God has put us here for such an appointed time as this. God knew the wickedness that would be in our society. Somebody say amen. And God chose to allow us to be born in this generation. God chose to allow us to serve Him in this generation. There's never been a greater time to stand up for what's right and serve God as it is today. So may God give us some young people that'll say, let come what may, I'm going with God and I'm going to stand for what's right. David does that right here, and David makes a difference. Can I say this to you tonight, young people? You can make a difference. Let me show you two or three or 12 things tonight. Number one, watch this. I want you to see David's approach. David's approach. Whenever they come to him, they begin to talk with him. Look with me in verse number 29. And David said, I'm going to jump around in this chapter, so I know I normally read a text, but just stay with me tonight. Verse number 29. And David said, what have I now done? Now look at this. Is there not a cause? David's approach to this thing is this. Is there not a cause to stand up for what? Right. Hear me and hear me tonight. Well, teenagers and young people, our approach to society today is this. Is there not a cause to stand for what's right? I want to say to you tonight, it's still right to live right. Wrong is still wrong. Sin is still sin. If it was sin 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, it's sin today. And our approach should be this. Is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause today. There is a cause. His approach was this. Is there not a cause, man? Yes, there's a cause. Number two, watch this. I'm going to move quickly through some of this. But I want you to note this. I not only see David's approach, but I see David's attire. I see his attire. Go with me to verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off from him. When you go into verse number 40, the Bible said this. And David took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. Watch this tonight. David's attire. Saul tries to put his garments on David. Saul tries to say, this is what you need to do. And David looks at him and goes, man, I've not proven this. And can I just say it this way? David was saying this. I don't know if this will work, but I do know what will work. David says, I've proven some things in my life. I do know what will work. And David decides to take his rod in his hand or his staff in his hand and his sling in the other hand. You see, God had used those things in David's life, and David had proven those things. Hear me and hear me well tonight. Young people, what you need is the Word of God tonight. It has proven itself. What did the Bible say in Romans chapter 13? He said, put ye on of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need the attire of this world. You don't need the things of this world. This right here is what we need. It's what will help us tonight. It has been proven. It'll work. Watch this. I'm headed to the last point. Number three, I not only see David's approach, David's attire, but look at David's attitude. This is very important because your attitude will determine your altitude. Look at David's attitude. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You know what David's attitude was? This: you may bring everything from this world. You may bring the armor of this world. But as for me, I'm going to go with God. You may come with all of that. But David's attitude was this: I'm going with God. Hear me, young people. The world will throw everything else at you, but push it to the side. Your attitude must be, I need God. Watch this. Here's something else. I see David's attack. I told you I'm headed to the very last point. That's what I'm going to preach to you. Look at David's attack tonight. So David gets it all together. David goes to the enemy, and look what the Bible said in verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. You can't run from the problems of this life. You can't. Are you hearing me? I know the Bible talks about fleeing youthful lust and fleeing temptation, and I'm all for that. With every temptation, God makes a way of escape. But hear me well. Temptation will come. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. You know what that means? It means exactly what it says. Don't make any provision for your flesh. In other words, hear me and hear me well. You better be real careful being with the opposite sex by yourself, because you're making provisions for the flesh. You can say amen or oh me. And here was David's attack. He said, man, I'm going to approach the enemy. Hear me tonight. The Bible said this: greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. We do not have to fall to sin. We don't have to become a casualty in the service of God. No, we've got somebody living within us. And greater is he that's in me. So there's David's attack. Watch this. There's David's accomplishment. What was David's accomplishment? Here was David's accomplishment. The Bible said he slung a rock, and the rock hit him and sunk into his forehead in verse 49, and he fell upon his face to the earth. David defeated the enemy that was coming after Israel, the one that everybody else was afraid to go up against, the one that everybody else was afraid to stand up to. Here is a teenage boy walks up on the scene and kills him. Now, I'm not saying go kill nobody, okay? But that's what he does right here. David accomplishes it. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you. You and God is a majority anytime, any place, against any number. It don't matter how big the enemy is, and he's big, you and God is a majority. What did the Bible say in Romans? He said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? That word if means since. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I've preached all night to get to the last point. I want to spend about 5 minutes on it, and I'll be done. Look what the Bible said in verse number 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I want you to see this in closing tonight. David's abolishment. David's abolishment. In other words, he annihilated it. What does he do? David does this right here. Whenever the Philistine hits the ground, whenever Goliath hits the ground, David runs. He jumps up on Goliath, takes Goliath's own sword, and cuts Goliath's head off. Now watch this. What did the Bible say about Goliath? He was Goliath of, somebody tell me, Gath. Goliath of Gath. Now, I'm not going to make you do this, okay? But when you get home, you're scared to death right now, ain't you? When you get home, if you go back to Joshua chapter number 11, guess who you find the family of? The family of Gath in Joshua chapter number 11. Matter of fact, there was the family in Canaan's land that produced giants. That's who there was. And you'll find out that God told them when they went into Canaan's land to annihilate the enemy, to kill everybody. And you know what they done? They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. And guess what happens? Here's what happens. Now, years later, this giant that wasn't abolished in Canaan's land has now stuck his head up against them again. You're hearing the preacher tonight. He stuck his head up against them again. Now they're having to battle him again. And here's what happens to young people. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. They go to youth camp. I'm all for youth camp. I can't wait to youth meeting here in just a couple weeks. But here's what happens. Landon, we go to youth camp. And we get in youth camp. We leave our phones behind. We leave social media behind. We leave the TV off. And for 4 days, you get to detox from the hell holes of this world. Well, somebody holler amen or I'll preach 2 hours tonight. That's what happens. And you hear preaching, 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 preaching. And you hear singing, 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 singing. And the Holy Ghost moves on us. We go to the altar. Y'all might as well holler amen. We go to the altar. We get our life straightened just like the nation of Israel. It's nothing new. Just like the nation of Israel in the book of Judges. And we come back and here's what we do. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. Everybody okay tonight? I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to look at this anymore. I'm done with it. And for a week or two, we do all right. But then all of a sudden, that giant starts to come back up. What has happened? Here's what has happened. Maybe we knocked the giant down, but we didn't annihilate the giant. We didn't abolish the giant. We didn't make sure the giant was never going to hurt us again. You know what David does? Here's exactly what David does. He goes to the battlefield. He knows it's a big battle. He knows it's a giant. He knows the only way he can overcome it is with the help of God. You face things every day in your life, and the only way you'll ever overcome it is with the help of God. You don't have it within yourself by yourself to overcome it. It takes God to do it. David knows that. What's he do, Cassie? He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And when the giant hits the ground, here's what he does, Brother Robert. He jumps on top of the giant. He takes the sword out. He cuts his head off. Matter of fact, if you read on, carries it back to Saul. Cuts his head off. You know what he was saying? Here's what he was saying. This is one giant I'll never have to worry about again. He abolished it. I'll never have to worry about it again. Here's what I want to say to our older young people and our adults that's here tonight in closing. What is that giant in your life that you need to abolish? What's that relationship? Is that all right if I just preach right there a minute? Marriage is a serious thing. I really feel like preaching a while tonight. Marriage is serious. The Friday night of y'all's rehearsal that it was supposed to be, your daddy had to go get sick and mess everything up. You know, we sat down there in that building, and I said, are y'all sure about this thing? I questioned you hard on it, didn't I? Your parents didn't know that. But I said, are y'all sure about this thing? I mean, you go off with your little friends up to mom and daddy's cabin, and everybody gets sick and starts puking up there. Then your daddy gets sick, and he's in the hospital, and everything's going. Are you sure about this thing? You say, preacher, did you really, I really ask them that? Matter of fact, right before me and Jacob walked through the door right there, I looked at him. I said, Hoss, let's go fishing. I said, because if you can walk away, we need to walk away right now. You didn't have, anybody else's wedding I've ever done in here, they'll tell you the same thing. Because it's serious. It's no plan B to this thing. It's serious business. And if we do it according to God's word, it's once and for all. You might as well holler amen. That's the Bible tonight. So marriage is serious. And right now, your hearts are real tender.
That's right.
You don't know what love is. I see 13 years old. Hey, the doors ain't locked. If anybody needs to go home, I might just preach a little while over here in this corner. I see 13-year-olds going, I'm in love and I love. Closest thing you know to love is when you get a banana pudding or when you go home and nobody else is watching you and you watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. They don't have a clue what love is. Now I'm going to tell you something. That giant will come up in your life and the devil will put some ungodly somebody in your life. If they don't go to the same kind of church we've got, you ain't got no business talking to them. I'm talking about the same kind of church. I'm talking about old-fashioned, leather-lung preaching, King James Bible. Somebody holler amen. You ain't got no business. You ain't got no business. And the devil puts these relationships, these giants in your life. I wish some parents had helped a preacher tonight. And you know deep down inside there's some giants in your life that you need to get rid of. And if you don't, it's going to destroy you. Let me tell you what you need to do tonight. Miss Lisa's going to come start playing softly to give y'all some hope that I'm about done. You need to abolish it. You need to abolish it. Here's a good rule of thumb when it comes to dating. Every single person needs to hear this. Here's a good rule of thumb. Did they draw you closer to God or pull you further away from God? Did they increase your relationship with God or did they pull you away from God? I said this the other night and I meant it with everything in me. If a boy takes you out to eat, girls, and he won't bow his head and pray over your food, you ought not even sit and eat the meal with him. You ought to get up. You say, well, preacher, I just have to pray. Look up in here just a minute. If you have to right now, what do you think it's going to be 10 years from now? Do you think they're going to go to the house of God with you? Do you think they're going to serve God with you? Do you think they're going to love God with you? Hey, if they don't bring you closer to God, if they don't respect you, if they can't keep their hands off you,
that's right.
It's preaching time. That giant rises up. That giant rises up. And here's exactly what you need to do. You need to approach that giant. There's some giants that I can cut the head off for you, but there's a lot that I can't.
That's right.
You got to do it. You got to do it. Boy, Brother Robert, I bet It's 10 minutes after 7. I bet if we could take time and let some people stand up tonight and talk about the mistakes of relationships, we'd hear some sad stories. We'd hear some sad stories. Some that, boy, I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about people that I've talked to down through the years. I've seen me and my wife, I'm not talking about ladies here, but me and my wife have sat down and talked to young adult ladies that's married out of God's will. And they said, we'd give anything. We'd give anything. Here's a good rule of thumb. If you got a godly mom and daddy, and they don't put their stamp of approval on it, you better get away from them. Better get away from them. Here's another good rule of thumb. I just feel like preaching tonight. If you got to hide it from mom and daddy, it's out of hell. It ain't a God. God ain't got nothing to do with that. Is that all right?
That's right.
Brother Easter, I believe Brother Junior that founded the church would holler amen on that. If you got to hide that relationship from mom and daddy, well, they'll never know. No, but God does. You know what that Bible said? To honor thy father and thy mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, I'm just being real with you tonight. They some giants. What you need to do, boy, y'all ain't had no preaching over here. I'm tell you what you need to do. You need to cut its head off. You need to cut its head off. I guarantee you, if you look deep down inside your heart right now, there's some things that you know that don't need to be there. You say, he's as wicked as any other boy. You might as well say amen. You say, he's cute and got a title. He's meaner than a copper-headed rattlesnake. There's some things in your life, and if you don't start dealing with them at this age, when you get that age, it's even harder. You'll just go ahead. And let me just say this to you. The Bible says it's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. But even at a young age, you'll just go ahead and say, I'm going to make a vow to God that the day I get married, I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be pure. I'm saving myself for my husband. I'm saving myself for my wife. I'll just go ahead and take it a step further. First time she ever kissed a boy was standing right there when they said, I do. First time Aaron and Bethany ever kissed was over in the old building when they said, I do. I still believe it's in the book. It's good for man not to touch a woman. You want me to tell you the reason that's in there? Because God put a desire inside of you. And that's the reason he created. It's preaching time. Because he created a desire inside of you. God done that. God made you the way that you are. Are you hearing me? And he created a desire inside of you because he wanted you to be fruitful and multiply the earth. That was God's will. So God said, I've created this desire. I've got to make a way for it to be right. And you know the way that that is? It's in marriage. And you have that desire before marriage. And the reason God says, it's good for man not to touch a woman, it's because he knows that desire is inside of your life. Well, I just need to kiss him goodnight. What's your intent on that? Why do you need to do that? Well, I've just got to hold their hand. What's your intent behind that? I'll just put it real simple. Holding hands leads to something else that leads to something else. And before you know it, your life is messed up. That giant needs to be abolished in your life tonight, young people. You know what it is. Maybe it's a relationship that you know is not right. Maybe it's music that you know that's not right. Maybe it's a friend that's not becoming to God, that's dragging you in a different direction. On and on we could go, and that applies to every one of us sitting here. Cut his head off. So I ain't going to worry about this dude anymore. I ain't worrying about it. I'm done with it. What's that giant? You need to cut its head off.